All right. Hey, good morning. I just want to let you know, just off the bat, just about our service in Bonsa Cruz next weekend. We're not just doing Easter egg hunt with them. It's an assisted living facility, and we are helping partner with them to put on an Easter egg hunt face painting, providing a bounce house for them, for their residents and their staff. Because if you've ever been in an assisted living facility, it's a hard place to be at. And so we're just being Jesus in the community and bringing hope. And so we just want to encourage you too. You can sign up in the back, DM Misty on Instagram if you need to. But it's just a chance for us to get involved in community. And we're excited about it because we're partnering with people who we're working with some of these people in the community already. And we can see God weaving a thread just with that. And so it is in our name, the Community Chapel. And God really is using that because I really believe God's called us to be a light in the community. And as we're a light in the community, man, the church just gets raised up the way it needs to be. You know, when the Bible talks about you're the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, when the church is involved in doing what it's supposed to do, guess what happens? The light shines brighter and it's lifted. And then people say, man, you do what? You're not just the hands. Oh, you're the feet too. And so people just begin to see things. And so I just want to challenge you and encourage you to really take the community aspect seriously, because it's really not about what happens here. I love what happens here. And I just want to let you know, too, our service really isn't done with the worship aspect of it. We are going to worship at the end today because I feel like there's just something on that song, Chains Break, today. And I just really feel the fire of God today and just what he's doing. And not only just in my life, and I appreciate what Chris said, just confirming it, just understanding what it really means to rely upon Jesus and what that looks like. Because men are frail. They're not dependent. And they fall short. And God reminds us, listen, turn your eyes toward me, because I really have what you need. And I think in realizing that for us, your life will begin to go to new heights and soar like you've never seen before. Because you begin to understand what God's strength looks like in weakness, and knowing that it's really about you and God. It's not about you and everybody else. What is God asking you to do? And so I'm excited about it. And I just kind of get you ready for it. God's doing some really unconventional stuff here, just in our church and just in our lives. And I don't want you to be afraid of it, but understand that the fire of God is real, and God is doing something unique in the earth today. And I want to be a candle, and that God can light. And so I just really want to just encourage you guys just to get in that position. And I got a little secret to tell you. God's going to orchestrate things in your life to get you in that position. So even if you don't want to, you're going to get in that position where it's just going to be you and God. And so I don't know how long I'm going to preach. I'm going to try to get out of the way as quick as I can, just so we can get back into worship. Because I believe more can be done just in a setting in worship, communing with God, than may anything not even say out of my mouth. Even though the word does not come back void, and it does cut, and it does convict, and it will. But when we get into the presence of Jesus, that anointing just breaks yokes. And people come to a new place of anointing and victory in their life that they cannot come any other way sometimes. And so just out of the sound of my voice, as I declare that today, I pray that God's going to give you such an awareness of who he is today that you're not going to be able to stay the same, and that things that have been holding you and catching you will no longer hold you and catch you, and that you're going to be loose from those things so that you can really understand what the power of God looks like in your life and what it really means to walk in that in your life. Because if you can get there, everything else in your life is not going to matter. It's just about what Jesus is about. And God's bringing his church back to that place. And so we're going to be a part of that as a church and as a community, that we want God to use us and to be the place that when people come in and they see what's happening here, that they don't just see us, they see the presence of God and what God is doing, and that God is real. He's real. And he's evident. And what he does, and it's genuine. It's not just hearsay. It's not just, well, he's good. Well, is he good? Yeah, he is good because of this. And so we really want an encounter with Jesus, and we want reality to take place in our life. We don't just want people telling us about it. And I believe God is restoring us back to that place where we understand really what it means to walk in power, love, and a sound mind, and where all these other things that you've been through in your life, they were just setups to get you where you are. We're just setups. And so when things come against you now, it doesn't really matter anymore, because God's got you in such a place in your life and you're so focused and lit for him that wherever he takes you, you just go. And that's where God is raising up a generation of people. God is not raising up a generation of churches. He's raising up a generation of people who understand who Jesus is and who walk like Jesus walked. It's not about the building. And so if you can get connected to Jesus, guess what? Your life will move where it needs to move. And church is just a byproduct of what we do. You are the church wherever you go. We come together and things happen supernaturally here, and it's exciting, but I get fired up to go back out and really what I need to do. And so it's not about church. And so today I just want to let you know that if you're looking at churches and you're looking at them to do things a certain way, and God, when's the next big church? It's not coming. God's not looking for the next big church. Guess what he's looking for? He's looking for a people who are going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what he's looking for. And so if you're willing and able and ready for that, good. He'll take you. And so he's just tearing some stuff down. He's tearing it down today. And I just want to let you know it's going to be uncomfortable, but I love you. And just know that it's just because God's just, he's done with the game of church. He wants his people really walking like they're supposed to walk. Where we walk into communities and we're excited about who Jesus is, and we know that we have the answer. One thing that Jessica said this morning in Team Rally, she said, you know, listen, you got to declare to yourself that I am bold. That, you know what, there might be fear inside of me. I'm not walking in that fear. Here's the thing about that fear. It's small in comparison to who lives inside of you. And so if you can understand that the one who is inside of you is greater than that fear, you'll feel it and do it anyway. And you begin to understand that the reality of who Jesus is trumps anything that I'm feeling right now in my life. And so you can come against me with anything you want, any scheme or any device, it doesn't matter. It comes to null and void because of who Jesus is, and every weapon that forms against me shall not prosper. Okay, and every tongue that rises up against me, I shall condemn, because I know who I am and I know who I serve. And so anything the enemy tries to do does not work. You might say, you know what, but you don't understand what's happening in my life. I do understand this. It's working for you. And that in the end, you're going to have the last word. If you really are tuning in and saying, okay, God, I'm going to allow this situation to push me toward you and really allow you to do the work that you need to do in me, because and really, in what God is trying to do in our life, he's trying to get you to that place where it's just you and him in the secret place so you guys can talk about some things and so he can do a work in your life. And the whole idea about, we're preaching now, so just get ready. Where's the verse? Don't worry about it. We understand a lot about this. It's like, and we hear about this and we get into this stuff and we're like, man, I want Jesus. And the minute he tries to do things different in our life and get us into places where he can speak to us, we don't like it. Well, your first community is with him. And if you understand that and you know that, listen, he still first, that phrase is going to be put to the test in your life. Is he still first? And I've said this before, the generation that's coming up and who are professing Jesus and who are really trying to find out what church is about is not the generation that we grew up in. They're looking for something real. They're looking for something genuine. They're looking for something that they can really take hold of and really live out. And so God is asking the current church, will you step up and will you do the things that I've asked you to do? Because I've got a whole generation of people that I want to bring in, but I'm not satisfied with what I'm seeing. I want you to be the church who are able to take people where they need to be, because I am allowing you this certain time in your life to get your life right, for me to cut away things in your life so that we can get unified, because it's not the world's perspective. It's not going to get better. You're going to get better because you're with me. That's what I'm looking for. Don't get comfortable here. I want you to really lie in and really lay into me so that when things do happen, you've already done the work. You know what happens in our life? Most of the time, we wait until we have to do the work to do it. And what God is saying is, listen, when I say be ready in season and out of season, I'm trying to get you to understand, I want you to get ready and prepared before the test comes, before the difficulty comes, because you've been working the whole time. And so when that stuff comes, our relationship is so intimate that that doesn't bother you anymore. People are trying to catch up to you now. So don't wait. Let's get in there now. Put in the work. And so that when God really does pour out his spirit, You've already been working in that and understanding what he wants to do so that you could truly be his hands, his feet, and his mouthpiece to the world today. That's what he's looking for. I'm looking for a real, genuine church that's going to be my mouthpiece. My mouthpiece. And so I want you to get to work. And so, yeah, you're hurting. It's okay. I want to get you to a place where you're relying on me. That's all I'm doing. I want you to rely upon me. Isn't that what he echoes in your heart all the time? When things don't go your way, because I want you to rely on me. It's not working. I know, because I want you to rely on me. And then once we get to that point where we're relying on him, guess what happens? Then things start to work. Because then you begin to understand, oh, it's really by him. And he is first. He's just trying to restore his name again. It's not that his name went bye-bye, but he's trying to restore his name in your life again. Who he is. Healer. Provider. Savior. Peacekeeper. That God. I'm doing something new. I'm bringing it all back into place so that it's just me and you again. First love time again. It's genuine again. I'm going to cut some stuff off in your life because I love you. Because I really want you to walk free of the kinks. Free of the stuff that's stopping you up. So that when I come in and move, you just go with me. Because you just know that you trust me. Wherever I go, you go. We just go together. It doesn't matter who's coming with you. It doesn't matter, Peter, if you get off the boat and nobody else is around. You just heard me? You heard me. Okay, I'm going. Isn't that the type of God you want to be with? You heard me, and I'm going to respond to that. That's what God is looking for. Just hear me. And when I say go, go. Take a step. That's the intimacy that God is looking for. He's not looking for, like, this debate thing with him. Well, let's debate it. Let's debate terms. No, here are the terms. If I say, come on and take a step, that's the term. Take a step. I don't like the step. We're not going to get very far, are we? Take the step. That's what God's looking for. Quickly. Quickly. Behold, I am coming quickly. Quickly. We let that, like, well, quickly. Well, he's been saying that for like thousands of years. No, quickly. Because listen, time to him is nothing. So quickly. So when the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, behold, I'm coming quickly, that is echoing today. Thousands of years later, I am coming quickly. And if you're really in tune to what the Spirit of God is saying right now, you understand that there's an urgency and that God said, I am coming quickly, so I need you to get, you need to get it right with me. We need to get in tune, spirit to spirit, so that we can get this thing going where we need to go. And if I tell you to shift around, shift. If I tell you to sit, sit. If I tell you to stand up, stand up. Whatever it is, I just need you to do the hard things and do what I'm asking you to do. Because there's a generation of people who are searching for me, and I'm looking for someone that I can make an example of. I'm not interested, God said, in Jeremiah anymore, or Elijah, or Moses. They're with me. They were great people. Abraham, we're having a great time. We're talking about stuff you've got no idea about. But what I'm interested now is that I'm interested in you. I'm interested in the next Jeremiah. I'm interested in the next Elijah. I'm interested in those people, the sons and daughters who are going to I want those people again. I love what I did 2,000 years ago, but hey, that's long. That's so yesterday. Doing something new now. And so I just want you to get on board with me now, because it's a good time to be alive. And if you can change your perspective and say, you know what, it is a good time to be alive, even though you don't feel like it's a good time to be alive, I'll tell you, your life will begin to go into different places. Because just as Chris said today, I didn't necessarily feel assured, but when I begin in faith know that I am assured of my salvation because of who Jesus is and because of what he's doing in my life, guess what? Then I can begin to go and step over things in my life, and the feelings begin to follow that in my life, and I begin to understand that I'm not as far away as I think I am, that I'm just enough where I need to be, and I'm just as close to Jesus. He's just right there, just waiting for me to cross over into the next dimension of faith of where I need to be. All he's looking for is if we just trust me by faith just to go into it. Don't worry about what it's going to look like. Just go into it. He's knocking down church as usual. Knocking it down. So a lot of people, they wonder about what's happening in the church today. I think God is overall pleased with his people because he is pleased. The sacrifice that his son made, he's pleased. I don't think he's satisfied with his church. I think he wants his church to really rise up to what he's called the church to be. And that's why this year the prophetic word for this church was to rise. And guess, and you are the church who are in this church right now. If you are in this church, it's going to be very uncomfortable if you decide to sit. You're not going to be able to make it. Because God is, he's plucking feathers, and he's tarring people, and he's getting people ready to go to say, listen, let's go. We got stuff to do. And so I'm asking you to trust me on some different levels here. This is not church as usual. And we're just crazy enough just to believe him that he could do that stuff. And I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful to him that he allowed me, allowed Misty, and the people that are here to really pioneer what's been happening here and what he wants to do in the earth today, because we were crazy enough to say, yeah, because we were tired of what church looked like. And God said, you know what? I'm looking for some people I can do something new with. And he said, oh, I like you. We're going to do a work in you, but I like you. And you know what? But the result far outweighs the work. So if things are different, good. If you don't like it, it's okay. Because God is doing something new. And listen, as a church, know this, that there was a line today in the earth that God is saying, hey, listen, I'm drawing it down. So I need you either over here, I need you over there. Because there's coming a time where I need my kids really focused on me and not thinking about whether or not they want to go back into the world and do what the world's doing. So if God's still bothering you about stuff, that's good. Because he knows that he wants you to be involved in the end time harvest that he's bringing in. And don't miss it, man. Don't miss it. All right, let's go. I know some right now are like, man, it's just uncomfortable. It's not normal. That's good. Good. Luke 23, 39 to 43. And that's how God wants it. Because you get so used to, hey, where are my 3 points? You don't have 3 today. You can catch it and take it. And you got 1 point that I'm going to bring up there. And you know what I love about God is the fact that he can take all that's taking place and take it and go, that's for you. That's for you. Because sometimes we can block them with so much structure because we got to get through it. And if we don't get through it, it's time. I got to go. I'm getting edgy. And God said, I understand, man, but where are you going to go? There's some things that I want to do in your life. And sometimes we miss what God wants to do because we're so concerned about, well, there's some things I got to do. It's Sunday morning, and I allotted an hour and 15. But this is the Lord's day. Sometimes we miss that sometimes. I got to stop. All right, here we go. So one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, so you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saying yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. We're talking about the series Life to Death and how God is taking people from where they were, transforming their life, and bringing them to a new place. A couple weeks ago, we talked about a woman who lived a sinful life. The Bible doesn't describe how the life was sinful, but we know that this woman was radically changed by Jesus because all she could do is come in and repeatedly kiss his feet and wash his feet with her tears and dry with her hair. Not having any concern about who was around, did not care, but knew that God had done such a work in her life and felt compelled that the outflow of worship was to take something very precious to her, which was herself, and lay it down at Jesus' feet in the middle of what was taking place that was unorthodox for a woman to do and say, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway because of who Jesus was. And as a result of that, her life was radically changed for Jesus. Radically. Radically. We talked about Peter last week. Peter is in a situation where he denies Jesus 3 times, and Jesus said, I told you were going to do that. And as a result of it, Peter decides to go back to his former way of life and fish. He goes back to what he thought he was going to go back to, and lo and behold, while they're out fishing, Jesus appears, like he always does, and disappears. Friends, have you caught anything? No, we have not. Throw it on the other side. Okay, they do it, and all of a sudden, they catch the fish, the nets don't break, and they look, and they say, this is the master, and Peter,
puts the garment around him, and jumps out of the boat again. Sound familiar? The first time he did it, didn't make it. Jumps out of the boat again. It's the master, because you knew in his heart he was longing for that communion and that connection again that he had, and he thought it was gone. But Jesus said, it's not God. My gifts and my callings are irrevocable. And so I'm coming back to get you because it's important. I've called you to start this thing. And so they have a nice breakfast together. And they have a nice dialogue, and Peter is restored. And we know what happened on the day of Pentecost. He gets up. Whole place starts to shake. Salvation. Things are happening. Peter. Not afraid anymore. And then today, we got the thief on the cross. This thief has not lived a life that we would say is a good life. He is a criminal. He is on the cross getting ready to die. One of the criminals said, listen, if you're the Savior, let's do this thing because we're about to die. And this other man has compassion on him, on Jesus, and says, man, let's look at our own lives. Even we've been sentenced to death, and you can't come to the grips of the reality of the fact that, number one, we are going to die, and number two, that this man has done nothing wrong. And Jesus looks over, doesn't pray a prayer necessarily that we like to lay out, and Jesus looks over and says, hey, you know they're having this dialogue. Those that are very picturesque, they're looking at each other, suffering. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, surely today we're going to be together in paradise. And in a moment, the man is saved. A moment. He is right now. Not right now, not right now. He is right now. He is in right standing now. Once Jesus looks over and says, today, you're going to be with me. Guess what? All of a sudden, we're in good standing. That man, you know, when he entered into heaven, there was rejoicing. As if someone was walking with Jesus for 30 years. This man gets the same benefits. Man, because on the deathbed, he's about to die, and he gives his life over to Jesus. You cannot tell me that this moment was orchestrated for this man. And that even in his death, he was still thinking about other people. And that, listen, that other people were still calling on him because they recognized who he was. Imagine the freedom and the joy that came to that man when he was sitting on that and dying on that cross. I can't believe it. I'm going to die with joy. And he gets to say, it's like he gets to say when he gets into heaven, we died next to each other. Man, wasn't it crazy? We died. And you know, him and Jesus were having a great time about it. And you know, they were talking about things like, man, I knew you were going to be there. Because sometimes we forget about that. We think, God, he's so transcendent. It's just, he cannot, like, relate. He relates. He's supernatural, yet he can relate in the natural. Also, he understands things. And so, you know, they were having a good time, and that man was just rejoicing in the fact that, hey, I got in. But I got in at the last moment. And you know, it's those moments I think that God is just excited about, man. Now you just made it. I knew, because it was set up. You don't know. This whole thing about Jesus, and he's on the way to the cross, and you know, the Bible talks about for the joy, and we'll talk about this next week a little bit more, but in the situation of what was taking place, he knew on his mind that he was going to meet this guy. Sometimes we forget. Listen, Jesus didn't reach out to the guy. The guy reached out to Jesus. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This guy has the benefit of seeing a physical Jesus and calls out to him. You hear preaching and people get, you hear it on audio, tape, wherever you want to do it, and you have the benefit of hearing it more today than they did thousands of years. They had nothing except the Holy Spirit. And still we struggle. Those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And guys, he was saved instantly. Do you know when you called on Jesus, you were saved instantly. Instantly. Well, you have no idea how the struggle, I get it. Because the struggle is real. Sanctification is real. You saved in an instant, but you are being saved. And it's like, this is one of the things, like in the gym, we use their third bands that we put around our legs. And then when we're getting ready to work out, to stretch ourselves out, we just take steps like this, right? And all we're doing, and Sarah, you know this, all we're doing is stretching our legs out, getting our hips ready, because we're about to go into a really difficult workout. Really, that's all it is. I'm just preparing for the fact that I'm going in. That's how it is sometimes with Jesus. It's just, you got saved, and it's good. And you're in an infant stage. But Jesus says, okay, now it's time to stretch a little bit. Because we're about ready to go into a season. And it's going to be hard, a little bit difficult. So all I'm asking you to do is start to think that way. That's why you can't take time off, man. Not from work. I'm not saying, no, he said don't go to work. I'm not saying work. I'm saying that's why in your relationship with Jesus, that thing has to be, you got to stay abiding. You got to stay, so that when a difficult situation comes, it might be difficult, but oh no, you've already been abiding, so you can duck where other people are getting hit. You can duck because you already see, Jesus just showing you stuff. Man, we're just doing good. Keep stretching a little bit. It's been good. As long as we keep doing this, we're fine. Just keep coming. The moment you stop, there's trouble. Think about your life. Think about your life. When you are in a relationship with him and things are going well, what is the number one reason why it's going well? You are having a consistent time with him so that when issues and difficulties come in, you're able to stay in that secret place with him and that you're able to use discernment and wisdom as to what is actually happening in your life. Flip it now. When you are not as consistent and you are succumbing to life, difficulty, hardship, you open yourself up a little bit more to the influence of the world and self, and instead of fighting it with Jesus, what happens is you begin to fight it with yourself and your intellect, and so rather than being victorious quicker, it takes you a little bit longer to get there because you have to get over self first. You have to get over the difficulty of trying to do it in your own strength first as opposed to giving it over to Jesus. And he is so patient that he allows you the lesson to get beat up. He allows you the lesson of just to do it so that you can understand what it is. And sometimes God will in himself allow you to go through difficult times because one of our house rules is do hard things, because he wants you to understand what it means to be able to relate to a world that faces difficult situations and circumstances every day. He said, listen, I'm not so much concerned that you are in a spiritual state of elitedness that you can quote my scripture. What I'm really concerned about is whether or not you have it really buried down in your heart and it has become reality to you so that you can actually relate to the people that are in the world, so that just like in the New Testament, where you're not necessarily educated, you're not necessarily got degrees, but people can make you understand, man, they've been hanging with someone. Remember the New Testament? When they came over to Peter and the disciples and John, like, these are not educated people, man. They're not educated. But the one thing that I can tell about these people is that they've been hanging with Jesus. Can people tell that you've been hanging with Jesus? Because when they can tell that, things now have the possibility to change. Because their mind is now open to the fact that there's something real and genuine taking place in this person's life. It's not just hearsay. Man, when they speak, they're not just speaking based upon, well, this is what they heard. They're speaking, and their speaking has an authority. Their speaking has just words of wisdom and clarity in their life. And I feel like they've been operating on a different plane. Yeah. And so this man gets saved. And then you look at Jesus, and you look at the people that he started to use in the New Testament. He's walking down a road, looks up in a tree, sees a short man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come on, we're going to your house today. He gets down, has an encounter with Jesus, said, listen, I'm going to sell half my possessions, and anybody that I've wronged, I'm going to give back four times. And Jesus rejoices and say, man, salvation has come to your house today. And he ends with the scripture that says the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. That's why I came. That's why I hung on the cross, to seek and save that which was lost, to seek and save the thief that was on the right-hand side, to seek and save short Zacchaeus who was in the tree, to seek and save the Paul that I was going to use to revolutionize the world, to take him from the zealot misappropriation of passion and heal him and turn it around for me so that now we talk about what Paul did. We follow more of what Paul wrote today in the New Testament. Those are the type of people that God said, I came to seek and save. All different types, all different types. And so when I'm doing something in your life, I want really to ask you a question, God says, is I want you, will you allow me to transform your life and change your life so that when it is their time, you'll be ready? Because in reality, what they're seeing in you is they're seeing the work that I've done in you. They're seeing the Jesus. That's what I'm looking for. I want them to be right now, too. But I want it to be to where I set you up so that on the way and the journey that we're walking through and the destiny that I have for you, that you're able to speak to people at the right appointed time that I have for them. That's what I'm looking for. Some on their deathbed, some I'm about to use, some up in a tree. It doesn't really matter. But are you ready and willing and able to be in that position? Whether or not we are just reclining in a room having dinner, or whether or not I'm on the sea and it's hot and I'm cooking fish, or whether it's just somewhere else in a place of suffering on a cross, it doesn't matter. Will you allow me to use you in any circumstance that you're at in order for my will to go forth? Or are you so contingent upon it being easy all the time that it has to be on your terms? He said, I'm not looking for your terms. I'm just looking for you to be available. Allow me to do the work in you, because what I'm really looking for is just like I suffered for them, are you willing to suffer for them? Isn't that the mark really of a true Christian when you think about it? You're thinking about your life, and our life is supposed to model what Jesus did. So the Bible says if I suffer with him, I'm going to reign with him. So that means that how am I supposed to live? Oh, that's real simple. I have to go to the Word. How did Jesus live? I don't want to look at that. Because that meant foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That means that Jesus was always on mission. He said, listen, my tent where I live is not here. I'm on mission. And that also means, come on guys, play with me. He said, listen, it's not about being comfortable. It's not about you just getting what you want. It's about you stealing away sometimes and spending time with me so that we can go out and actually look at the people that I've called you to minister to, choose some, use discernment, raise some other people up, whatever it is. And then when I've called you to move on, then you can move on. But do the things that I've called you to do. It's not about you just doing what you want to do right now. That's not why I came. You are right now. We are in right relationship now. But now you have given your life over to me. And you have said, now you can do whatever you'd like with my life. And I'm going to take you up on that offer. Because my death was not cheap. And I will not throw it away just on you living a haphazard life. And say, well, I'm just going to live for myself. And so that's why I'm going to come in, and I'm going to do some things, and I'm going to rearrange it. I'm going to flip some things upside down. It's going to get uncomfortable because I want you to see just how crazy this thing is, how crazy in love I am with you, and how crazy in love I am with the world and what I actually want to do. And so I'm going to change some things up. It's going to get a little hairy, but just trust me. Trust me. Listen, follow what I did. Just trust me. I'm going to take you through the things. Just trust me. You're going to get tempted. Trust me. I was tempted. I'm not going to ask you to do something I didn't go through or do. Well, what about death? It's coming. You might die for your faith. You may not. But you can't live in the valley of, am I or am I not? Before I really make a commitment to Jesus, because you're concerned about how your outcome's going to be. I'm going to roll the dice and say, okay, Lord, just take me. Because that's where the real adventure comes in. And then God can say, okay, all right, now we're getting somewhere. And you know how it looks like. When you're really getting somewhere with God, I'm making some progress. It starts to feel good. It feels good. You're like, man, I really feel like I'm in God's will. I really feel like God's doing something in me that's supernatural, that's different. And you start to like it a little bit because you're like, man, I'm just on a different place right now. I don't want to go anywhere else. Let's just keep riding this things out because this is a good place to be in. This is a good place. And God says, well, I got more. So let's continue. The death on the cross wasn't the end. It was the beginning. Each one of you are on your way to your own crucifixion in one way or another, where God's going to ask you to put something up and say, nail it to the cross. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to take up that cross and follow me. And whatever that looks like for you, only God knows. Where that death is going to be the thing that brings you new life. But it doesn't come any other way. I want life. Okay, that means the old has to go. Well, it takes a long time in order to get there sometimes, but the old has to go. And it's the one thing about God, and he knows. God takes his time to make sure that the old is gone, because I'm not interested in the old anymore. You keep bringing back stuff up. I'm not interested. Stop bringing it back up. I'm doing the new. So I'm asking you, put your arms out.
Say, Lord, give it to you.
And sometimes we forget this stuff. And Jesus said some powerful words. He said at the end, he said, into your hands, I commend my spirit. You know what God's looking for from you? Lord, into your hands, I commit my life. And that means that I'm going to have to die to some things. Because you want newness of life. You want reality. You don't want the same. You don't. I don't believe you do want the same. Because if you did, A, you wouldn't keep coming. And B, is the fact that you've tasted of the goodness of God in your life. And once you've tasted of the goodness of God, it's like a magnet. You're like, there's more. This man is now rejoicing in heaven because of what Jesus did. How many people in your life are going to rejoice later on in heaven because of what you did? Maybe go, what you sacrificed, you're not Jesus, but what Jesus allowed you to do and what you had to suffer and the things that you went through. Now you're able to speak deliverance and freedom to people. And that's the exciting part, because you're in relationship with him. And so the difficulty is that I crush you so that they can be free. I crush you so that life can come out. And so that when you get in contact with people, guess what? Life gets on them. And there's something different. God is doing something different. You're going to hear it again. I'm doing something different. It's unusual. Don't look at the former things. Don't look at the former things. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to go into the song again. The Bible said that when Jesus preached, he preached some hard things. He said, many disciples left. So I couldn't handle it. Are you going to be the type of people who say, I just can't handle it. I just can't hack it. It's too hard. Lord, far be it from me or us that we get to the end of our life and look back and say, I can't believe I settled for this when I could have had this and the fruit that could have been born to my account if I were just to be obedient and just did what God asked me to do. That's why God gets in your face sometimes and says, it's bigger than you. He starts to shake you up a little bit and says, come on, man, get it together. We've got some stuff to do. I'm coming quickly. It's not about here. It's about eternity. And so when I'm trying to shake some things off you and break some things and some chains to break, I'm doing it for a reason, because lives are on the line. People, their salvation is at stake. Joy, peace, all that stuff. You don't have time to get entangled with what's going on here. I'm coming quickly. So I want you really, as we enter into this song, Lord, break some chains. Help us to get to the place where you want us to be, so that when people come in contact with us, that they understand that there has been freedom in their life, and that freedom has set them free. And as a result, other people get free. And just like this man in heaven one day rejoices and says, because of your obedience, I'm here. And there's an excitement in your life again, and that you don't live in the doldrums, and you don't live down and oppressed, but you live like Jesus is risen. He is a Savior. He loves you. He's not just here just to allow you to live a life that's easy, but He wants to take you to a place with Him, not just surviving, but thriving. And I pray, God, that you would allow the fire of God to come in us so that we can see that on the earth today, that you're doing a new thing. And God, that you want your people set apart for your service in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.
How sweet wait. Seek your face. Come and make your throne upon our praise. Here in this place. Have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fold out. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning thought be holy grace.
Change, fall, arms with everything you got. In your lungs, let's sing the same power. With all you got.
The same power that conquered the grave lives in me. Lives in me.
If you're dealing with any sort of fear in your life right now, I want you to step out and come up here to the front. I just want to pray over you real quick. I'm not gonna single you out. Just want to pray a blanket prayer. If you know there's just some fear in your life right now, it's like, man, God's just trying to set me free from this thing right now. I can't get out of it. I know it's a chain. It needs to go because it is stopping me from being all that I believe that God has called me to be, and I cannot kick it. I can't kick it. And so anybody else, as we pray and they're playing, you can stretch out your hands, whatever you want to do. But we're going to pray because I know that God wants to do some things. Father, I just thank you right now for the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I thank you that you haven't given us a spirit of fear. And God, I pray that you would shake people free from it, that people would be able to walk out of here in freedom in their life, to know that they are loved, they are accepted. God, that they don't have to feel abandoned, that they don't have to feel not wanted, not loved. I thank you, God, that it's not going to grip them. But I pray, God, that there will be a freedom in their life, a confidence, a boldness that will come up to know, God, that the best is yet to come. God, they don't have to fret or fear because people are prospering in their way and ask themselves, what about me? God, it is about them. God, you died for them. And God, I pray that you would raise them up to newness of life so that they can begin to experience the goodness and the fullness that you've called them to live in so that they can go out into a lost and dying world and do the same thing and be the hands and feet of Jesus so they can understand, God, what it means to walk in confidence, not to walk in doubt, that it doesn't matter what their dad said, it doesn't matter what their kids say, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, but it matters what you say. And God, I thank you, God, that you're going to break strongholds, you're going to bring deliverance in people's lives, that you're going to break them out of mediocrity and bring them into a place of freedom and liberty in their life like they've never seen before. I thank you, God, even this week as they begin to step out, God, that are going to step out and see you meet them, just like Peter. Meet them, and God, because you know where they're at, and as you meet them, God, their faith level is going to rise. I thank you, God, for generational curses being broken. God, I thank you, God, for poverty being broken. God, I thank you for sickness being broken. God, I thank you, God, for disease being broken. I thank you, God, that by your stripes we are healed in our emotions. We are healed, and God, that we can live in freedom, and God, that we can live whole, excited about who you are, excited about who Jesus is. Not worried about what anybody's going to think, but God, we can have soundness of mind so that when we come in contact with people, they want what we have. And I thank you, God, that your fire is going to break through. And God, it's going to be something that's real and generous. I thank you, God, for an attractive Jesus, God, that's going to begin to percolate in our lives.
and that it's going to be so apparent and it's going to be so attractive that people can't help to be drawn to it like a magnet, and their lives are going to be changed in an instant, just like the thief on the cross, in an instant. It's not going to be something that's going to take them years, but God, they're going to be right now where you called them to be. God, wherever it is that you would set us up to be your hands, to be the mouthpiece, so that people can experience their salvation, their freedom, their right standing, and they'll look back and they'll say, I can't believe I waited so long, but they'll give their life over to you. And God, I thank you, God, that as we do that and as we abandon our lives to you, God, that you're going to move through us and that people are going to come into the kingdom because of who you are through us. I thank you, God, for a power. I thank you, God, for a boldness. God, I thank you, God, just for our freedom. God, that the enemy, what he should have done years ago, I thank you that he couldn't do. God, that you separated people apart from their womb. You separated people apart from their circumstances. And God, that you set them up now. This is the time. I thank you that it's now. And God, that you've called us to do a work, and that, God, we're going to say yes, and that we're going to go where you called us to go, and we're going to do what you called us to do, and that we're not going to be shaken. We're not going to be afraid because of who Jesus is in us, that Jesus, that same Jesus who was raised from the dead, and that same power that raises in us is going to be the same power that's going to help us do the things that you've called us to do, and that the enemy will not have an occasion again, God, to bring us down into where we were, because where we were is gone. It's who we are now. We are now hidden in you. We are now free in you. We are now loosed in you. And God, now we can do the things that you've called us to do. And God, and loose just a spirit of confidence and freedom and boldness and peace to know, God, that you've already severed them from their past. God, that their past no longer has a hold on them, because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. God, let it be new. Fix them good. Fix them good so, God, they can see that they're valued and they're loved, and the treasure that we are loaded in you, that you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing and heavenly places, and that we don't have to walk around like chickens anymore, that we can fly like eagles like you've called us to fly. Thank you, God, for breaking depression and fear and anxiety. And thank you, God, that we can leave knowing that we're loved, we're loved, we're loved, and that there is no fear and love. In Jesus' name.
Same power that conquered the grave lives in me. Lives in me. Oh, oh. Your love that rescued the earth lives in me.
One more time, church. Sing the same power.
The same.
Shout like you're free in this place, yeah!